Oh, I'm on. Woo-hoo. All right. I'll just... Okay, yes, it is certainly a privilege to be the first person to speak at the platform at Grow Church. So I really am honoured, as Gary pointed out. And before I continue on, I'd like to... that God will just bless each of you this coming year, 2014. It comes and goes so quickly, doesn't it? And I just was talking to my family on the drive up here this morning, and I was saying, "Boy, it's already the 5th of January." It's just the week that the new year has already gone by. Almost a week has gone already, so it's just incredible. But before we continue on with the word, we'll just bow our heads and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. Lord, we thank you that you continue on and abiding with us, Father, Lord, through all things, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we are all gathered here this morning to do nothing else but to meditate upon your word, to speak your word, Father. Lord, just we pray that you just use me as a vessel, Father, just to for your Holy Spirit, just to touch each one here this morning, Lord. We thank you and we honor you in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, when it's the new year and you were the first person to speak at the new year, what do you normally talk about? It's only about the new year, isn't it? Or about resolutions and you know, things that are relevant to the new year. And I was so adamant, Lord, I do not want a message about resolutions this year. So I've actually labelled this message to be resolution busting. But... When Kayleen gave that word this morning during the worship time, and she spoke about giving it a go and not giving up, and I think that's a more... Actually, when I think about my message, I've really sensed that in God that that's really a more appropriate label for this message this morning, is to keep on going, to not give up, that He is with you, that He is abiding with us, and that we need to give it our best. And so I just... that's going to be the message labelled Jeremy for the internet and all you internet listeners out there as well. That one or two that will find my name and say, "Oh, Noel's preaching." I'll just tick on that. Thank you, and I hope you have a great new year. Also, God bless you. All right, so this morning I just want to talk about just some things that I just sensed the Lord just speaking in my heart about relevant to the new year and how we approach the new year and our attitude as well towards the new year and really anything in life where we where God has called us to something to do the purpose that He's placed in our heart and just the attitudes that we bring to those sorts of things. And in the media, and for many of us who have lived through many, many, many New Year's, some of us perhaps a few more than others, each one brings a lot of thought and discussion about what has happened the year before. Some of it is good, some of it perhaps in our own understanding not so good. But either way, at the end, we do tend to reflect. And that's true, and even Gary spoke a little bit about reflection as well in when he spoke this morning also. And it is, you know, we tend to at this time of the year tend to begin reflecting, or just perhaps before the end of the previously, we tend to reflect what has happened the year before. And after the reflection, our thoughts can move to the year ahead, and either consciously or subconsciously we begin to ask ourselves a series of questions, like the questions: do I want to achieve this year, or what do I want to achieve this year? What do I want to give up this year? What do I want to take up this year? Where do I want to go this year? And quite often in the natural, you know, these are perhaps the sort of questions that we do ask ourselves. There are probably quite a few more questions that we can throw in there as well. Our minds can often can question a lot of perhaps our own motives, our own attitudes. Perhaps time that we've wasted, and we often question those things as well. and how perhaps we can put a positive spin on that, and how we can maybe strategize ways to turn those things around and to be more constructive in the next year. But most of us probably would have an answer to all of these questions that we ask ourselves. Perhaps some of us do not. Perhaps some of us determine the answers to those questions before the new year. Perhaps some of us haven't. In either case, we have in the most part asked ourselves these questions or have answered these questions. Whether or not we have outworked these answers is an entirely different thing altogether. Sometimes we approach a new year, or we approach something that we need to get done with a plan, or perhaps we haven't. But unless we've outworked those things to achieve what we've set out as goals, then those goals end up not being achieved. So there are certain types of attitudes we need to look at in terms of how we approach the things we want to accomplish in the coming year. Now, I'm just about to play a short clip, or I'll ask Jeremy to play a short clip. Now, this clip is something that took place 12 years ago. And in fact, I have spoken about this once before. Kathy has reminded me. I can't remember, but it must have been many years ago, but Kathy is very good at remembering things like this. And she remembered that I did speak about this person once before. But trust me, this is an entirely new message. And so the content in here, I'm sure, is something I haven't touched on before. But this clip I'm about to show is something that was really inspirational for us as Australians. It happened 12 years ago at the Salt Lake City Olympic Games. And without any further ado, I'll ask Jeremy just to play that clip.
I wasn't all that nervous going into the final. I was excited to be in the final, and I knew that, you know, I'd had a fair amount of luck to get from the semi-finals to the final, and I was just out there soaking out the atmosphere and hoping that I could skate well. The goals I had for myself for Salt Lake were quite simply just to skate what I thought was my best and satisfy myself. On paper, I was probably at best maybe the eighth best skater in the field. Some of the things that have happened to me throughout my skating career have been, I guess, a rollercoaster ride is a good way to describe it. And I only went to Salt Lake because I didn't feel I'd skated my best at the previous three Olympics before that. Basically, just took up the tactic, well, my best chance here is it's only a very minimal chance, but I'm just going to stay out of the way, and that way if anything does happen, then I'll be there to capitalise. I ended up dropping off the back of the other four guys with about two laps to go, and ended up being 15 or 20 metres down when the chaos happened and everybody fell down. The way I won the race, I wasn't going to be the guy that went around pumping the air and punching his fist around everywhere and waving his arms around. I just sort of put my arms up in disbelief and had a look of what the hell's going on here in my face. A lot of emotions all at once, and some of them were, I guess, a little hard for me to deal with, and they still are. So I've got the gold medal and just a bit like that, I guess. The medal ceremony was something that I will always remember for a number of different reasons, but the main one being that I was having trouble dealing with it the way that I won the race. And, you know, sure, I won the gold medal, but I wasn't the strongest skater out there. And I would have liked to have been the guy who won the race because I was the strongest, and I didn't feel 100% right about it all. And the medal ceremony just expelled all those feelings as soon as the flag went up and the anthem started playing. It was like there was nobody else in the stadium, and it was just a couple of minutes for me, so yeah, it was pretty good.
Thanks, Jeremy. All right, yeah, give him a clap. I mean, I find his story so inspirational because he's a guy that he's nowhere near the best in the field, and even through his heats and the finals leading up to that final race for the gold medal, he just stuck it in there, and he just hung in there, and he just did what he could, and he made it to that final, and people were falling over the place around him, and how he won that gold medal was just amazing, and he's such a humble person as well. So I just wanted to show that, and there's a few points from that clip that I've highlighted, and I just would like to touch on, and just draw comparisons or things from that, which also in Scripture, which I'd like to share this morning. So the first thing to touch on with that clip is reflection. When we reflect on what has gone before in our lives, it is tempting to blame others, including God, when life does not quite turn out as we expect. Now, that gentleman there, his name is Stephen Bradbury, and he felt his performance before the Olympic Games were below his best. Instead of putting his focus on the circumstances or casting blame, I mean, how often do we hear athletes blame their coaches or people around them for not bringing out the best in them or not providing that that environment for them to succeed? But his attitude was to do his best and be content with his best effort, unconcerned with the result as long as he finished at his best. And if you'd like to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain." Here, Paul, the apostle, urges us to not grumble or argue when things don't work out as they seem. And as Stephen touched in that clip there, that prior to the Olympic Games, he knew that he hadn't achieved his best. He hadn't performed his best, but he didn't argue or complain about that. He just allowed himself to be motivated to do his best in the Olympic Games. Reflection on what has happened before can sometimes be dangerous. Use the past to encourage, but don't dwell on things that were unpleasant, as these things can lead us astray from where God desires us to be. And quite often when we go through times of reflection, our mind gets bogged down on things that weren't so good. And perhaps, you know, on perhaps things that people have done to hurt us, or perhaps things where we have been discouraged in doing, or things that we just haven't succeeded in, and just dwell on the failure. Now, these are the sort of things that we're not to dwell on. If we can learn a lesson from those things, that's wonderful, and that's all God really desires from us, is to learn lessons and to use circumstances to be able to grow in understanding and in wisdom, but not to dwell on things that that discourage us or cause us to move away from God. So instead, be encouraged to do the best that we can do each day to be effective in the kingdom of God. And if we do that, then the Bible promises, you know, God will be satisfied. If we run the race and we do it the best that we can, God will be satisfied with that. But we too should be satisfied also. Be excited. You know, the first things Gary spoke about when he jumped on the platform was, do you love Jesus? Do you love God? The excitement. You know, and we need to be excited. And quite often we mistake excitement for an emotion. That, you know, it's only by some feeling that we are able to get excited. But I don't believe that is true. We can seed excitement as well in our hearts. God can seed excitements in our hearts. And we just need to tap into that and to allow that to be expressed. And it's great to express things outwardly, excitably, but also too to use that as a motivator also and embed that into our attitude when we approach things that we need to do. When we approach things when it comes to the kingdom of God, use that excitement that God has placed in our hearts. Don't put a cover over that. Don't stomp it down. Stephen Bradbury was excited to be in the race. He knew that should he hang in there and finish the race the best he can, then he was a chance to get a medal. But at least he'd be satisfied that he went as far as he could in the games. It just so happened he won the gold because he was the last man standing. When it comes to remaining excited in our faith, I can't think of too many examples that are better than the Apostle Paul. Perhaps maybe King David as well. He was quite excited with his God. But nothing quashed the enthusiasm for sharing the gospel that Paul had. Although translated from the Greek, listen to the description and language used in the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians. It's obvious that this man is excited about God. And if you'd like, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. And just as we read through it, just take note of the words he used, the expression, the excitement that he has. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He's used the word blessing, blessed, a couple of times there already. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise and his glorious grace, which he has freely given, has given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. He lavished it on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And really that passage there is just a sample really of the heart that Paul had and the excitement that he had for sharing the gospel. And he shared that gospel to his death. And even before then, you know, if you look in previous in other letters where he wrote that he was stoned, he was robbed by bandits, he was shipwrecked several times, he went through so much, but his thirst and hunger to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ stayed with him. He was so excited to share that gospel and to please his God, to do the will of the Father that had been set before him. The next thing is to do your best. Stephen Bradbury's goal was simple, to do his best. He was disappointed with his efforts in previous to the Olympic Games and was determined to put all his effort, knowledge and training into this race, into these games. Paul encouraged us to do likewise in terms of fulfilling our purpose in God. He likes to use the race analogy quite often in Scripture, actually. Since he lived in a society where sport was very much a part of the culture. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Gentiles understood what he was talking about when he talked about racing and sport. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Now, in the race that he's talking about there is not a race where we compete against one another. We compete against the standard God has put before us, which is our individual purpose in his kingdom. Now, and the cornerstone of this is known as the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. And I think we're all pretty familiar with that, so I won't go and read that. But we're all commissioned to make disciples of men, to preach the gospel and make disciples of men. Therefore, we can encourage and minister to one another, and all of us can win. So here we are in a church, and in a church, the design of a church is for equipping and for encouraging and for building up and uplifting each of us to run the race and for all of us to win, for all of us to be victorious in the kingdom and make it into the purposes of God has placed before us. All of us are uniquely made. And how the Great Commission is at work differs from person to person and even from church to church. God has placed a purpose in each of our lives, which is different for each one of us. Sure, the commission is the same. The end goal is the same, and that is to reach the unsaved and to bring them into the kingdom of God. But the way we go about those things, the gifts and talents, the authority, all play a part and all provide a unique mix in each one of us to fulfill that. What is important here is, are we doing our very best to contribute to the Great Commission? The next is to be the best you. Stephen Bradbury rated himself as only the eighth best speed skater in the games. The eighth best, yet he won the gold medal. You don't have to be the best evangelist, or the best preacher, or the best soul winner. Don't have to be the best pastor. You simply need to be the best you. Now, this cannot be done only in our own strength. Now, as Kayleen spoke before, you know, the Holy Spirit will come and he will hold us, he will lead us. Yes, there are some practical areas we can engage in, such as studying and meditating on the Word of God, fellowshipping together in home groups, going to conferences, and of course regularly attending church services. Now, all those things are very important and they're all part of our own equipping and being in an environment where we are encouraged. But also too, there are many spiritual things that we need in order to accomplish and to become the very best we can be. Praying, receiving the kingdom authority that is our inheritance. We spoke a lot about that last year. And allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and to lead us, but also to follow that leading of the Holy Spirit and to be obedient to that leading. Ephesians 3:16 says, "I pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." The Holy Spirit is there and he can help us. He can strengthen us. He can encourage us when our physical strength gives way. He can keep us going. And that brings me to the next point, to keep going. Stephen Bradbury kept going. He knew that should he remain in the race, anything can happen and he can even possibly win. His attitude was to never, ever, ever give up. This is a good principle for us in anything we do that is worthwhile, and most importantly, in what God is calling us to do. Paul also encourages us to do the same. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 29, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Be mindful that when things get tough, we often get caught up in the physical aspects of what we are trying to achieve and forget to put our faith and authority into action. One thing, when things are not working out, we need to assess all aspects of our effort, physical and spiritual. Now, our race is an endurance race. Just as Jesus endured through fulfilling his purpose, so too are we called to endure through God's purpose for us. So I just encourage each one of us here this morning that, you know, even though perhaps we may not feel that we're close with God, that we may feel that we have fallen aside, the reality is that you're still a child of God. The reality is that we're still part of the kingdom of God, and that purpose that God has placed for us to fulfill has not changed, despite how we may feel. So it's important to pick ourselves up, seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, seek his leading, and just continue on. Setbacks doesn't mean the race is over. Sometimes we can learn a lot from a setback, and we can allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us and to get us back on the right track. Staying out of the way. It's another thing that Stephen Bradbury touched on, is staying out of the way. He commented that his strategy was to stay out of everyone else's way and to run his own race. Now, as we looked at that clip, that was pretty wise, wasn't it? Because everyone just got tripped over each other in the end, apart from him. First, have a strategy. Have a plan. To achieve a goal, you need a strategy to take care not to operate outside God's plan. You know, God will give you a vision, may give you something to achieve, a purpose to achieve. But quite often, he leaves it up to us to strategize how to reach that. He doesn't necessarily give us the whole plan, the whole outworking, each step that we need to take. Sometimes perhaps he does, but more often than not, he leaves it up to us. We have an intelligence, we have a faith to seek God for those things, but also to put in place a plan, a strategy to achieve the purpose that he has for us. We need to take care not to be entangled in areas and things that do not concern God's purpose for us, or more importantly, don't concern the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we do have to serve in areas that perhaps we don't believe are necessarily our calling, but still a need needs to be fulfilled, and we need to be faithful in those things and to do those things and serve where there is a need. But don't lose sight of God's plan for you and God's purpose for you, and always work towards fulfilling that purpose. But it's important to not be distracted and forget God's plan. Don't be entangled in things that do not concern the kingdom of God to the point where you forget God's plan. This can effectively take us out of the race. If we lose sight of what God has for us, it's the same as not finishing the race in a sense. You get entangled into other things and end up not finishing the race. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." To be effective in the kingdom of God is to be fruitful. So it's important that we take a check of where we're at, what we're doing. Is it in line? Are we being fruitful? Are we being effective in the kingdom of God? And if we find after that, we sense that perhaps we're not, then seek God. Seek him to renew that purpose in your heart, to give you that seed of excitement back in your heart, and to help you outwork a plan to fulfill that purpose. So as we look at finishing up this morning, in conclusion, you know, we are a chosen people. Each of us has spent some time perhaps reflecting on what we didn't achieve or didn't accomplish at some point in our lives. Now, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes we need to take a reality check. But don't dwell on those failures. Graciously, God is always ready to wipe the slate clean. He does not wait for the new year. He is constantly waiting on all who are ready to repent and ask him for a new beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." A good way to start is to look at those questions. Let's look at those questions again. From the beginning of the message, with one little change that makes a big difference. Perhaps let's instead ask, "Lord, what do you want me to achieve this year? Lord, what do you want? What do you need for me to give up this year? Lord, what do you need for me to take up this year? Lord, where do you want me to be this year? And Lord, where do you want me to go this year?" Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and grace. And Lord, we just thank you for your encouragement to us, Lord, that no matter what our past is, Lord, you do not dwell on those things that happened in the past. Lord, your concern is for the future. Your concern is for how we can be fruitful in your kingdom, Lord God, and have fulfillment and purpose in our life for you, Lord. Lord, we seek your guidance. We seek your strength through your Holy Spirit, Lord. We seek your leading, Lord. Help us to be obedient and to not look to the left or to the right, but to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as Paul spoke. Lord, we thank you for our lives, and we thank you that you give us and our lives meaning, Father, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.